Go home, boys. Give this up.
Give up $15,000, Morgan? I don't think so.
Well, then let's get it going.
Hogface doubled over in shock when the 45 bullet slammed into him, and he went down on one knee in pain, both hands clutching his perforated belly. Frank fired as he ran for the protection of the rocks, knocking a leg out from under another bounty hunter. Frank jumped into the rocks just as the lead began howling all around him. Hogface was out of it. He was stretched out full length on the ground, his life's blood slowly leaking out. The man with the broken leg was crawling away toward the roadbed, his pistol on the ground where he dropped it, the battle forgotten, at least for the moment.
Lloyd, are you alive?
He's hit bad, and so am I. Can't stop the bleeding.
Hang on, I'm on my way.
He didn't make it. The bounty hunter jumped up and Frank drilled him before he took five steps. The fourth man made a fast run for his horse. Keeping the animal between himself and Frank's gun, the bounty hunter made the road and was gone without a backward glance at the bloody corpses of his buddies. He headed down the road toward the Denver Junction. Frank reloaded before exiting the rocks. Pistol in his hand, he walked over to Hogface. He was unconscious and dying. Frank carefully edged over to the man he dusted side to side. He was stone dead. He walked over to the man with the broken leg.
You got to help me, Morgan. I'm bleeding bad.
That's your problem. You boys wanted this shootout, not me.
$15,000 is a powerful lot of money, Morgan. You can't blame us for that.
Hell, I can't.
You gonna leave me here?
What do you want me to do? Tote you to a doctor?
Frank knelt down beside the man. His bullet had torn the big vein in the leg. Frank rigged a tourniquet on the wound and stood up.
That's it? That there's all you're gonna do?
That's about it, bounty hunter.
Oh, that's cold, Morgan. Mighty damn cold of you.
I reckon so.
I'll kill you someday, Morgan. I promise you that.
There it was, the same old threat. How many times, how many men spit that same threat at Frank over the long years?
What's your name?
Jake Miller, and I got kin, too.
Good for you.
Frank took the man's pistols and started to walk off.
They'll get you, Morgan!
They'll try.
Frank tossed all the pistols he could find into the stream, then gathered up his animals and swung into the saddle.
Don't leave me here to die, you bastard! That ain't decent!
Decent? What the hell would you know about decency?
Frank rode into the mining camp the next day. What buildings there were in the town were raw, the smell of fresh-cut lumber strong. It was not a smell new to Frank, nor was the sight of the crowded streets new. The largest and newest building on Main Street bore a sign reading, The Henson Company. Frank bought a few supplies at a general store. He didn't bother inquiring at the only hotel. He knew it would be packed, men sleeping four or five to a room. He rode on out of town and turned down a rutted road leading to the south. He could usually find a deserted cabin or shack close to these boom towns, and this time was no exception. He rode about 2 miles away from the strike area, which was about 3 miles north of the town, when he came to a fairly decent-looking cabin. It looked deserted. There was a lean-to in the rear. He looked inside the cabin. It was bare, except for a small stove and a bunk built against the wall.
Good enough for me.
Frank checked the lean-to. Several bales of hay had been left stacked in one corner.
Nice of them.
Walking around the cabin, Frank discovered a pile of firewood. He wouldn't have to cut any wood for several weeks, if he stayed that long, which he doubted. After forking some hay into the two stalls of the lean-to, Frank stripped the load off the pack horse, pulled the saddle off his riding horse, and stabled both his horses. Then he began settling in. Frank cleaned the stove and built a fire for coffee. Then he found a broken-handled broom and swept out the cabin. He paused at a strange sound coming from the outside, went to the door to check, and found a dog sitting on the ground. Frank didn't know what kind of dog it was. It was just a dog. Mixed breed. Very mixed. It was brown and coarse-haired like a wolf. It wasn't a very big dog. Frank figured it weighed about 30 pounds. It didn't appear to be very old. Maybe 2 or 3 years.
What's the matter, boy? Your people leave you behind?
The dog wagged its tail. Frank held out a hand and the animal came to him cautiously. Frank petted the animal for a moment. The dog was sure enough friendly. Probably glad to see someone who didn't throw rocks at it or yell at it.
You hungry, boy?
The dog wagged its tail furiously.
Well, I reckon you are. All right. But come on in, I'll fix us both something to eat.
The dog hesitated, then followed Frank into the cabin. Frank fried up some bacon, then made pan bread. He and the dog ate it all up. Frank poured himself a cup of coffee, sat down on the unmade bunk, and watched as the dog finished up the bread.
Well, I guess you had a name, but somebody forgot to tell me. So I guess I'll just call you Wolf. How's that, fella?
The dog looked at him and wagged his tail.
Wolf it is.
Frank drank his coffee and watched as Wolf scratched himself several times. That got Frank scratching himself.
This won't do.
Frank rose from the bunk and went outside with Wolf following. He found a wooden bucket with a broken handle and a large metal pot in a pile of junk in the back of the shed.
You are gonna have a bath.
He filled the bucket with water from the creek several times and toted it inside, filling up the large metal pot. He stoked up the fire in the old cook stove, and while the water heated, he got a large bar of soap from his supplies.
Now you get a bath, Wolf.
By the time Frank finished, they both got a bath. But Wolf was free of fleas, at least for the time being. Frank fixed Wolf a place to sleep in a corner of the room and pointed to it.
You sleep there.
Wolf looked at him and promptly dragged the old blanket to a place under the bunk and lay down.
All right. I won't argue with you. Stay put.
Frank poured a cup of coffee. Then he sat down on the edge of the bunk and made a list of the things he was going to have to buy in town.
I'm gonna have to buy a chair. Maybe a rocking chair. Hell, why not just go ahead and file on this place? It's quiet enough. There hasn't been one person ride by since I got here. And this strike probably won't last long. It'll be a place to come back to. Yeah, I'll do that. That suits you, Wolf? All right. That's settled.
Frank had money. Vivian left him a percentage of the Henson Company, and Conrad did not contest it. Frank didn't know how much it was worth, but knew it was considerable. He probably would never have to worry about money again.
Hell, I've never worried about money in the first place.
He got up to pour another cup of coffee.
Whoa there!
Stay put, Wolf.
To Frank's surprise, the animal obeyed him. He stepped outside on the small porch.
Howdy!
Howdy.
You settling in, eh? Well, you can sure have it, mister. That damn Henson Company's done got all the good claims sewed up tighter than a miser's purse.
I'll just look around, maybe try my hand at panning.
Good luck to you.
Thanks. Say, you don't know who owns this place, do you?
Nobody, mister. Same with my place down the way. I done checked on that. Too far away from the strike. You wouldn't be interested in buying some furniture, would you? I'd sure like to lighten this load.
Well, maybe. What have you got?
Frank bought a table and chairs, a rocking chair, a bed with a nice feather mattress, some bedding, a wash tub, and some dishes and cooking utensils. It was too late to ride into the nearest land office to check on the property. He would do that tomorrow. Frank arranged his new purchases. The cabin was now a home. Wolf carefully smelled each new piece of furniture, then walked over to his place under the bunk, lay down, and went to sleep. It was full dark outside, and a cold wind was blowing. Frank built a fire, made sure there was water in Wolf's bucket, then went to bed. He went to sleep with a smile on his face. He liked this quiet place. Maybe this was home after all his long years of wandering. He hoped so.